that is Lord of our life, God of our salvation, and it is him that we are going to be taking a look at on this Rumination Tuesday on Law and Gospel on this June the 20th in the year of our Lord 2017. And I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me is Pastor Mark Smith. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Tom. How you doing this fine day? First day of summer. Do you know that? First day of summer today.
No, isn't that the 21st?
I thought it was the 20th. Is it tomorrow?
I always thought it was the 21st.
I guess you're right. It's the summer equinox.
Yes. That's what I don't like, which means beginning tomorrow,
the days get shorter.
I know.
Isn't that a shame?
Yes. Boy, if you live at the equator, they're always the same?
I don't know.
Oh, let's get to theology where you might know something. How do you like this hymn done by Martin Luther?
I love it. I love it. Yes. Who did this? I love the hymn. It's so ominous.
I said, how do you like this hymn done by Martin Luther?
No, it's not done by Martin Luther.
Try and name the fella it's done by.
Matthias Apelles Lohenstern. Von Lohenstern.
I know. What a name.
16th century.
Yep. Died in 1648. 17th century.
Actually, 17th century. Yes. You're right.
And it's an old hymn. You know, Franzmann's hymns that we've gone over, I would consider contemporary hymns. So we're not against contemporary hymns if the words are proper.
Right.
And such. But a hymn like this, Lord of Our Life, by an individual I don't know anything about. I've never heard of him or done a study on him, but he, you know, was born about 30 years after Luther died, and therefore he would have been involved in the Reformation, hopefully. And so let's kind of go through. This is the hymn selected for the third Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Jeremiah 20, Romans 6, and Matthew 10. On Monday, I took Romans 6 because it has one of the most important verses for Law and Gospel. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. And I spent time explaining that under law doesn't mean that you are not under law. It doesn't mean that you don't have to obey the law or the law is not important, but you don't have to make the law your way to heaven.
Yeah.
That's what you're not under anymore. You're under grace. So, if you would read the first stanza.
Okay. Lord of our life and God of our salvation, star of our night and hope of every nation, hear and receive your church's supplication, Lord God Almighty.
Ever since Trinity Sunday, I have had a theme at Trinity Orchard Farm that it is really important to attend worship services because that's primarily where you hear what the Holy Trinity has to say to you.
Now, is this a sermon series that you're doing?
No, it's just a theme. I've used it. I get into this kick where I get a theme and then I put it in each sermon, each Bible study.
And how long does that last? Will that last throughout the summer?
Until I get the next theme. So whatever that one's going to be, like tomorrow.
So in other words, you preach what you want to preach, right?
No, I use the text.
You do.
And twist it for my meaning. What's that called? Eisegesis.
You use the text and twist it for your meaning.
Well, actually, it's not that bad, since every text...
That reminds me of words of H. Richard Klan in a class once. He said, that is exactly what you don't want to do.
Yeah, that's right. He said that often. But for example, I just mentioned, since you are not under law but under grace, that fit in perfectly with the theme. That how do you know you're not under law? Because that's what the Holy Trinity said to you.
Right. And also, I look to my baptism.
Yes.
That tells me I'm not under the law.
But only because that's what the Holy Trinity says.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, I hadn't realized this. You would have thought we both knew Robert Price. He was president of one of our seminaries for a while. And I would have thought that for him, the most important doctrine was justification by grace through faith. But he says, no, the most important doctrine is the Holy Trinity, from which we learn justification by grace through faith. I believe that many young people, I think their most dangerous times is 2 to 3 years after confirmation. They tend to maybe drift away from the church. And if you drift away from the church and you don't have a pastor there who every Sunday is telling you the Trinity's interpretation of your life, then the ways of the world are going to overcome you because you don't have anything to counter it with. And so I think that even though confirmation ends, and I'm working on that at Trinity right now, we should have a group of those recently confirmed with various items available for them, Bible studies, outings, things like that.
Whatever happened to the wonderful Walther League?
Yeah.
Which at least provided that.
Yes. I mean, we were both members of that, and it was very, very fine, but they went liberal in a number of areas, and so they're kind of like the Boy Scouts.
I see.
You know, I don't deal with the Boy Scouts anymore now that you have no idea whether or not your leader is a homosexual. Yeah, as well as the kids that you have your son sleeping with and such.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
It really is. I wish we would get something started to replace that. I know the Wisconsin Synod has something.
Yes.
But we'll have to wait and see what comes about here. What is so important about this hymn is there's one thing that the Trinity teaches us, and that is only taught in Christianity, that God and God alone is the source of our salvation. Our works are not...
Works don't do it.
No, our works do not do it. And listen how this, Lord of our life and God of our salvation. There isn't another religion in the world that says that in the sense of what is meant by the Trinity, that he does all the work of saving us.
That's right.
Well, what other God, Allah, or anybody became a human being in order to die to pay for our sins?
None.
Just doesn't happen. So in Christianity, and that's what I would stress here. So on this hymn, although I'm not preaching this Sunday, Pastor Douglas Gott is returning to Trinity. He left about a year ago, and he's doing a wedding on Saturday that he had prearranged. And then on Sunday, he's preaching twice and doing the Bible study. So we're going to be real anxious to hear him. A lot of folks do miss him, I guess. How long have you been at your church?
35 and a half years.
Wow.
I never thought I'd stay that long.
No, no. But when you leave, I don't think anybody will miss you. But they sure miss Pastor.
Has he come back to correct all your mistakes? Is that what he's done?
He'd have to be here 4 weeks. No, when I left St. James, I was there 28 years. And nobody hardly missed me leaving. They miss Louise going.
Louise, yes.
You going to take her with you? So that was kind of fun. But we stayed members for about 5 years until we became members of St. Paul de Pere because the grandkids are there and such. And I don't think I've been there for 2 years because every Sunday I'm elsewhere, uh-huh. You know, preaching this sort of thing. But this is what we really need to preach about. There is no other source of salvation, which means that you do not cooperate in your salvation and you do not contribute to your salvation.
Right. Divine monergism, as they say. He's done it all.
Explain monergism.
Monergism is it's one-sided. God has done everything necessary for our salvation.
Yes. And that salvation comes through the second person of the Trinity. That was decided before the foundation of the world.
Right.
According to Ephesians. Star of our night and hope of every nation. Now, that's really important. He's not the hope of just believers.
Every nation.
Yeah, I don't understand how the Calvinists have that one thing that Jesus died only for the elect.
No, he died for all.
I know.
God so loved the world.
Right. Because, I heard a good thing. I mentioned it already at Trinity. So somebody said, wouldn't it be wonderful if John 3:16 had your own name in it? For God so loved Tom Baker that he gave his only begotten son. And I said, no, I wouldn't want that at all.
No.
And they asked why. I wouldn't be sure what Tom Baker he's talking about.
There's got to be plenty of those.
Are you kidding? Yeah, Tom Baker, you looked that up on Google, and you got that, I can't think of his name now. Well, his name is Tom Baker, but he was the actor for that space kind of thing. I can't remember what the name of it was. I used to watch it all the time. He was the best actor, too.
Lost in Space?
No. Oh, what is that one? Well,
Star Trek.
I'll find out later. No, it's not. It's a series that was on PBS from England. Anyway, getting back. Hear and receive your church's supplication, Lord God Almighty. Now, that's interesting. Lord of our life and God of our salvation, he then repeats it, Lord God Almighty. What does Almighty mean?
He's able to do whatever he wants to do. You've given us, I'm trying to remember your definition.
Yeah, it's really easy to remember if you just divide the word.
He has all might.
Yes, there is no might
apart from him.
And that's really critical, which means Luther uses that in his book Against Erasmus on Bondage of the Will to make the point that if God is almighty, then there's no power we can use to save ourselves. And therefore, if we are saved, it had to come from the almighty.
It had to come from him, right.
It's so simple.
You're right.
And yet, well, Luther was right. And how Erasmus couldn't see that is beyond me. All right, I'll read stanza 2.
I love this stanza.
See round your ark the hungry billows curling. See how your foes their banners are unfurling. And with great spite their fiery darts are hurling. O Lord, preserve us. So what's the metaphor
he's
using here?
The picture, of course, is the ark of Noah, which is like the church of today.
Yes, yes.
And the billows of the waves are encircling it. And the threats, the church is under threat continually. Accusations, attacks from within and without.
Yeah, I watch some things on television. And one was a series of ships that were in huge waves. And when the wave hit the ship, it went way up in the air. You know, it came down. One even topsided, went over on its
right,
side.
Right. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes, those the race. You're talking about that race that took place.
No. This was just, in fact, this was in the Bermuda Triangle, they
uh-huh.
said.
Oh, I see.
And they were just showing it. Anybody can go find it. You just go to the internet and put down ships wrecking. And they've got them on a number of places. But I found something out about the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Do you think it's one of the most dangerous areas?
Well, evidently, you know, there's a lot of lost ships, even planes, have disappeared in that area.
Well, that may be true, but guess what? Not any more than anywhere else. And the proof of that is Lloyd's of London. You know, they're the insurance company.
Right.
They don't ask for any more if you're in the Bermuda than if you're... And they gave other areas, like near England, there's some bad places, and Australia, etc., that just anywhere in the world this can occur. So they don't charge extra for insurance if you're in the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. So it's really a fiction that it's worse than anywhere else.
Is that right?
Yeah, some people were seeing there were alien ships that came down and took the people away. And they had some pretty good explanations for some areas. One was there's a certain gas that can come up and cause an explosion. The trouble is that particular element is found in all the oceans all over the world. So it's not just particular to the Bermuda Triangle. It was really an interesting program. But why don't you go ahead and stanza three.
Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly mortal armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord.
Yes. The translator was Philip Pusey. And notice he always has the elements of rhyme, the second last word, in each line. Like what you just read, veils is the same as fails, is the same as assails.
Right.
It's not the last word in each one.
No.
Yeah, I'm working with someone who is doing some poetry right now, and he was talking about a meter that he's using where the rhyme is within the line as well as at the end of the line. The reason that's good is because it for some reason, rhyming and other such things make it more interesting. You know, when you have that.
A little bit easier to remember.
That's the other thing, too. It might be easier to remember. And that's why in a sermon, most of my time when the sermon is written is going over the English and trying to put some eloquence in there.
That's a large part of your sermon preparation, I imagine.
Thank you. All right. Notice the metaphors here. God is our light. He is our shield. And, of course,
Star of our night.
Yes, star of our night. That, of course, reminds us of what Jesus said in Genesis 1. Let there be light. And then Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. Yes. And therefore, darkness, the reason darkness is used as a metaphor for evil, etc., is I've never been in a cave where it's totally dark. Have you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, where?
Well, I can't recall. I think it might have been Merrimack Caverns.
Oh, yeah.
Where they put all the lights out.
You
couldn't even see the hand in front of your face.
Wow. Yeah, that's darkness. Until I turned on my flashlight. No, that's darkness. Of all the senses to lose, which would be the worst one for a pastor?
I think sight, but I've been told, Pastor Andrus.
Yes, I know.
He claims that's
not a big problem.
Not
for
a
him.
Big problem. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I think sight. Yes.
Sight would.
The other one could be
hearing.
No, becoming mute.
Oh well, of course.
But
that's not really a sense.
It isn't?
No. Speaking is not a sense, Tom.
Well, if nobody can hear you, mute means that people are deaf to you.
Well, yeah, that
Thank
is
you.
True.
Oh, boy. Mute is
you're,
not
You're
a
twisting
sense.
It around for your own meaning again.
No, it's what I do with the Bible. So why can't I do it with science? But metaphors are necessary because God can't compare what he's really like in words that are unable for us to understand. I mean, it is such a different dimension of reality. So we often say, heaven, what is it like? Well, if you're a farmer, it's going to be an area where it's filled with milk and honey. If you're a city dweller, then the streets are paved in
gold.
Yes. So God uses metaphors, but I don't expect gold to be what the streets are paved in. In fact,
probably much better.
What, diamonds? be that as it may, why don't you read stanza 4?
Peace in our hearts where sinful thoughts are raging. Peace in your church, our troubled souls assaging. Peace when the world its endless war is waging. Peace in your heaven.
I think it's assuaging.
Assuaging.
Yeah. Which means what?
You tell me.
You're the one who read
well,
it.
Well, let's see. Assaging or assuaging would
yes.
be...
troubled souls.
Settling. Yeah. Settling. Soothing. Soothing.
Yes. When a soul is unsettled.
Right.
Which is at every funeral we go to preach. I just did one. A gentleman died over a week ago, but some of one of his sons was in Alaska, so we waited and had it on on Father's Day.
Oh, uh-huh.
I even made a point how appropriate, because he had 8 children.
Wow.
And so Father's Day, and he was a member of Trinity. And so you already mentioned how I persuaded people that he was in heaven because he had been... You already said it. Baptized.
Oh, been baptized, sure.
Yes. And so this is our greatest foe, the devil. And the first line says where his foe is. Peace in our hearts when sinful thoughts are raging. You see, we just can't imagine that God is going to save us when we have sinful thoughts. But he does. And where's the peace over and against our sinful thoughts? What is the peace?
The peace that surpasses all understanding.
Exactly.
The peace that holds us in good stead, even when the world's tumbling around
right.
us.
That God forgives us,
right.
for
mm-hmm.
sure. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, it's Insight Wednesday, and I'm going to be talking about how we get right with God. We certainly don't get God to be right with us by our works. And so, what does get God right to us? And almost most Lutherans, especially the laity, get this wrong. So it's going to be fun tomorrow to talk about this. I won't have you answer in case you get it wrong. At least you'll have to listen tomorrow. Knowing you, you'll get it right, though. But Lord of our life, therefore... Lord means the one who is in charge of our life. You only refer to someone who is Lord, who has authority over you. And that's why he's Lord God Almighty, and he's God of our salvation. See, that fits in with my theme real good. That
real well.
The what?
No, go on.
What'd you say?
I said it works with your theme real well.
Oh, real well, yes. And so it's good.
Okay, Tom.
It's good well. And Lord of our life, therefore, is the assigned him, because much of the reading deal with God as the one who alone saves us. You preaching this Sunday?
Yes.
Where at?
At Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. 5 o'clock Saturday.
You can't remember when you're preaching?
5 p.m. 5 p.m. Saturday evening, and then Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
Will your wife have the sermon ready?
Yes.
Oh, that's excellent. Yes. And I'm not preaching this week because we've got Pastor Gott coming back, and a lot of people are looking forward to that. He was there almost 30 years.
Wow.
Yes. And so we're looking forward to being with him. He's doing a wedding on Saturday, preaching Sunday, and the Bible study. Trinity Orchard Farm. Just go out Highway 94. And how do you get to your church?
Oh, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection out here in Crestwood.
South St. Louis.
Right.
All right. Because our people in Australia might not be able to get there. All right. Thanks very much, Pastor Mark Smith. We'll be back next Tuesday, God willing. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.